All right, Wednesday evening. This is 4/21/21. Kind of like the sound of that. 4/21/21. All right, this is a no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation, and we're going to look at warring a good warfare tonight. Warring a good warfare. All right, in case you haven't noticed, the devil has declared war on us. As far as we are concerned, Jesus won that war. But we still have to engage the enemy. We are peacekeeping forces. Peacekeeping forces come in after a war is won to maintain the peace. Okay? All right. This is Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. I like the Amplified version of this even better. It says, blessed, enjoying inevitable happiness, spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they should be called the sons of God. I think that's a more accurate translation, because we are the makers and the maintainers of peace. And we're called God's sons because that's what we do. We do not fight the devil, but we fight what? The good fight of faith. All right? What is the good fight of faith? It's maintaining what Jesus has already done. Colossians 2:15. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So we are maintaining the victory over the devil that Jesus has already maintained for us or done for us. Acting like the devil is already a defeated foe, which he is, and acting like it is so, standing and not backing down. All right, with that, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. All right, the devil's making war. Right there it means to bustle, or it just means warfare. Warfare. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures in Revelation that talk about that word. All right. Chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. See, what a lot of people don't understand is while we are doing our warfare, it sends angels on assignments to do warfare in the heavenlies. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. I wonder if that's fake news. It's sure flooding the airways, I'll tell you what. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I'm looking at a couple. The word there is war, is to be engaged in warfare. So it should not be any surprise to us that this is our way of life. Don't like it, detest it, but it's the truth. All right, Revelation 13:7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. I think that's pretty well happened. He's pretty well infiltrated the church. Revelation 13:7. Then Revelation 17. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called chosen and faithful. All right, now let's go to 19, verse 11. These are just the scriptures that talk about war or warfare. 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Verse 19. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the throne and against his army. All right, we see how the devil is constantly warring against us, even though the battle is won. But we still have to war a good warfare. With that, I want to turn to Acts chapter 28. Especially those who have recognized their place, and they're coming against the evil one. This is 28 of Acts. You know, a lot of Christians, when they finally start maturing a little bit and they start encountering warfare, they're going, What? What's going on here? What the heck happened? Welcome to the real world, the real place of Christians. All right, verse 1 there says, and when they were escaped, we know that Paul had been on a ship for 2 weeks in a hurricane. They barely had anything to eat and drink the whole time, and in the stress for all that, trying to control that ship. And he was probably exhausted. I mean, the ship come apart, and they had to swim to shore, and they're soaking wet. Huh?
Cold too.
Yeah, they were cold because the natives on the island made a fire for them.
Yeah.
And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance serveth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. We see how the devil was constantly warring against Paul, but Paul maintained the victory that Jesus won at the cross. He learned to do it. Okay. All right. We're going to look at our equipment. Ephesians chapter 6. Faith is a stand. Our warfare is a stand. Sometimes it's a stand that doesn't say anything or do anything. It's just a stand. Ephesians 6, chapter 10. Finding my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wile E. Coyote, he's always a scheming. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are demonic entities, demonic spirits. I know it looks like it's the clowns. I know it looks like it's these wicked politicians that are blabbing and trying to incite riots and doing all their stuff. I know it seems like it's them. But I'm finding it a lot easier to deal with them when I look at them and say, Lord, bless them. Bless them. You said, bless your enemies. Lord, I bless them. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is a mental stance. This is mental. This is where the warfare comes at us. Not in our spirits. Not against our spirits. But it's a battle of the mind. Trying to convince you. What are we convinced of? Jesus has already triumphed over the devil. He spoiled principalities and powers, made to show them openly triumph over them in it. So what does the armor do? Protects the mind. All right, Jude 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, what does that do? I used to liken it like your pump iron in the Spirit, but what does it do? It strengthens this mortal body. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He will quicken your mortal body by a Spirit that dwells in you. If you're weary, the battle's long, the battle's hard, pray in the Spirit. It's like a building the battery up. All right, 2 Corinthians 10. I just quoted that to you, but I'll read it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You can't do it in your flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that means fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where is God in us? In our spirits. Casting down imaginations. I told you this is mental. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, in bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's a discipline. James says that the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. Because one minute he's thinking right, and the next minute he's thinking wrong, and he's just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth all the time. All right, let's look at 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. How'd they shipwreck? You faint in your mind. Hebrews says don't faint in your mind. In fact, I'll just look at that one. I didn't get that one down. Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Where's that other one, Danny? There's another one real close to that one. Look here. I've got so much markings, I need to start erasing so I can see it. Let me look here. I don't either. Well, that wasn't it either, so. Oh, well. I guess we need to know. Thank you, Lord. All right here, warfare, military service. And Danny was looking for this, and I found it this morning. It's the apostolic career as one of hardship and danger. We are to war a good warfare. That is what the Lord said to me this week concerning the warfare. Or this is what he said to me. He said this, as you go higher, you will encounter a new level of warfare. But take courage, you will acclimate. Think about a deep sea diver. This is what it means, just the dictionary, acclimate. To adapt to a new temperature, attitude, environment, or situation. Joyce Myers probably still does use this term, new level, new devil. We start taking ground. See, we don't just take a little bit and stop. We are advancing forward. We are continuing to take new ground. We're going into new places and we're encountering things. All right. This is why it seems at times to heat up, or you experience things you have not encountered before. Jesus dealt with, as well as Paul, these things wherever they went. Demons would rear up, cause problems. If they went, why? Because they were stirring them up. They were being effective against the kingdom of darkness. You know what? You may think you're unknown, but I'm telling you what, the devils know who you are. I've had some reactions. I know I may seem like nobody knows who I am. I'm nobody from nowhere. But I'll tell you what, I can walk into a place and I get a reaction and I think, yeah, they know. They know the sheriff's in town and they are not going to stay. And so they react. I'm telling you, we're all sheriffs. We've got our badges on and our guns and we're ready to kick them out of our land. Aren't you tired of it? Yeah. Oh, All right. Jesus and Paul dealt with these things wherever they went. These are those new areas that we are taking dominion over. Yeah. So don't think, what? What's going on? What, Lord, what is it? Lord, what is it? Well, you just kicked the hornet's nest. Think about it. What the Lord's been speaking to me, he said, I want you to get, you've got to separate what you're feeling, what's coming against you, the lies that's coming against you. You've got to separate and realize this is warfare I'm encountering. There's nothing wrong with me. Jesus already took care of that, right? So what am I experiencing? They're trying to get you to back off. All right, we're going to look at some other scriptures on that. Mark chapter 1. If the Son of God got flack, Apostle Paul got flack. Any Christian who knows their place in God and they begin to read the supplement sheet that we read and the petitions that we read and speak to things and talk to social media and say, oh, no, no. This is warfare. You're not sick. You're not broke. This is warfare. This is warfare. It's not comfortable. But I can't tell probably any soldier ever would probably say their time in service was comfortable. Mark 1:25. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, now someone had come up right here. Well, let me just start with 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone! What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace and come out of him. In other words, shut up. Jesus got a reaction. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. I figure that's probably most of the reaction you get in most churches you go to. What? 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 What new doctrine is this? Somebody's actually got a little bit of power? Luke 4. Don't be surprised if you get a reaction. I'll tell you what. That day in the grocery store, and that guy said, why don't you ever smile? I'm just going, what? I mean, he's down way down. I'm just going. And he said it two or three times before I realized he was talking to me. And I thought, that's the weirdest thing I've ever had happen in my life. And then I went home and, you know, learned. Said, what in the world happened there? And Lord said, do you need to take authority over that thing? I got to where I wouldn't even go in there for weeks. And then, after I got brave enough to go back in there, every time that guy'd see me, he'd take off going the other direction. Because I bound the thing. I'm thinking, oh man, you think there ain't no demons out there? Think again. All right. Luke 4:35, well really it's kind of the same thing, it's just the other account. Here, verse 31, he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. In the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thee art. Thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Do you know that this is what a normal Christian is supposed to do? I'll tell you what, you get a lot fewer prayer requests. People always texting me, pray, oh, pray, would you just please pray? You know, I'm just going, Lord, these people have been Christians for 60 years. Ah, no wonder we're in trouble. All right, Acts 16. Verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God and show unto us the way of salvation. Do I need to use my witch voice? I'm sure that's probably, it was kind of grating type of deal. In this itchy many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. Well, look out. It stirred up a hornet's nest. What happened? He was dealing with a territorial spirit, and it shook them all up. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Paul was messing with some territorial spirits right here. I want to read you something. There's a book I'm reading. It's The Roots of the Federal Reserve, Tracing Nephilim from Noah to the U.S. Dollar. This is by Laura Sanger, Ph.D. This is chapter 2, Portals, Gates, and Grids. Oh my. Torino, Italy is a city replete with ley lines and spiritual grids. In 2006, I had an opportunity to partner with the local Christian churches in Torino as they prepared for the 2006 Winter Olympics. When I first arrived, the spiritual darkness of the city was tangible to me. It felt like a thick blanket of oppression. With moments of entering the city, my body felt the ill effects. I developed nausea and a headache. The spiritual atmosphere was unlike anything I'd ever encountered. Even the surrounding countryside was impacted by the spiritual forces of darkness at work within the city. She describes the city that it's full of idols. That's probably what Paul saw. You know, and he talked about the cities, wherever he went, he saw the cities, they're just full of idols. And so, when you have these things come against you physically, and she says that where she was staying, down off of the property that she was staying with some friends, they had some demonic activity happening on their property. And she said, they walked out in that field and you could feel it was like electricity pulsing. You could even feel, the presence of those spirits. Feel like some of them walked through you. It was creepy. See, they had to develop a strategy to take out, see those grids, what did she say it was called? Gates and grids. I told you about the ley lines and how the pyramids connect, and all the stuff over D.C., the three city states, the pentagram, over the Pentagon, all of this are demonic ley lines that have seized control in all of these places. You got to have the wisdom of God to take out some of these networks. That's how they've taken the seven mountains of culture that we're supposed to take. Take it back. Okay, as we take ground, we will experience the same things that Jesus and Paul experienced. All right, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a very interesting book, and I tell you, it's a big book. But it's so well researched. And she traces it all the way from Esau, Edomites, that are the Phoenicians, the Jews that say, the ones that say they are Jews and they are not. She can trace it all the way from the beginning, all the way to today. Even the Nephilim. They seen Nephilim in the 1800s. We're not talking some little dudes either. We're talking some big. giants. So they've not ever died out. They've just been hidden away. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. See, when she showed up, those spirits all the way across the world, they knew who she was. They immediately started to deter her. You come to torment us before the time? You come to take our territory? For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness most gladly. Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore Paul said he took pleasure in infirmities. I can't say I'm quite there yet. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. You know, a lot of people think, well, that was Apostle Paul. I don't think it was just Apostle Paul. I think it's anyone that has a revelation of what God has done in their place in taking back the land and all of that stuff. It's not just Apostle Paul. All right. Matthew 12:29 tells us things that we can do to combat these spirits. Matthew 12:29, Mark 3:7, the same thing, which I just touched on it not too long ago. So right here, let's start a little. Jesus, right here, verse 25, it says here, well, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? I guess it takes real wisdom to know and address the strong man. Bind here means be in bonds, knit, tie, or wind. Let that strong man, the territorial spirit, leave the scene, wringing his hands and crying instead of you. Just imagine when every believer does this. You talk about glorious. Just think about it. We'll see full possession of our land. Yeah. No more rescue mentality, but kicking the devil out mentality. Not sitting around waiting for President Trump to do it. Or somebody else. Our heroes. You know what I mean? Peter said we should not think it strange what you experience when you war a good warfare. This is 1 Peter 4. Verse 12 and 13. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But he's talking about here, don't get in a flesh flight right here. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yes, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin in us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. This is normal. It's not, we're not to think it's strange or odd. What in the world is going on? Call the preacher and ask, what is going on? All hell's broken loose since I did that. Yeah, good. We're wanting hell to break loose. Get out of here. We want to break those chains that are bonded together across this nation, across this world. So that's one thing that the president always said about the Democrats. He said, I'll say this about them, they stick together. They hate each other, but they stick together. They do. You see, we got to break up that. That's got to be broken up. Break up their network. All right, this is normal, and when we realize this, we won't have such a hard time. That's kind of like going into the military, and every time you have something hard, you run into the sergeant and saying, what's going on? He said, it's normal. That's what you're in training for. That's what we trained you for. So don't think it's strange. When you fire upon, you might get fired upon. They might fire back at you. All right, learning how to engage the enemy. All right, we call the shots here, not the devil. Jesus has already defeated him, and we are to maintain what Jesus did and occupy it. Don't let the devil come back until Jesus comes. Don't let the devil come back. We are to occupy till he comes. It is so obvious in the life of Paul. It was so bad he went to the Lord about it 3 times. God, you got to get this off of me. Paul, my grace is sufficient. All right. When the viper crawled out of the heat and attached itself unto his hand, he just shook it off. Much like Jesus saying, shut up and come out of him. What happened? Grace is available for all who would war a good warfare. Wasn't just for Apostle Paul, but for all. The Lord said this to me this morning. Satan uses deception. This is what deception is. Misleading, like false evidence appearing real. What comes against you? The deterrent is against your mind. It is mental, no matter how it feels. Now get this. Fear causes the false evidence to become real. Faith causes it to fall to the ground. I want to read this to you. This is Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of thee, saith the Lord. It's just like Peter when he walked on the water, Matthew chapter 14. That's what the Lord has been telling me very strongly. If you think you're okay, you're okay. If you think you're not, you're not. It has nothing to do with the physical aspect. It has to do with your mental condition. What did he say? When he said, speak to the mountain, believe that those things which you say will come to pass, then you'll have whatsoever you say. If you believe it, then you're going to act like you believe it, right? All right, Matthew 14:22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He started out walking on the water. Man, he had his mind right. Then what happened? Circumstances. It's like the parable of the sower. Satan brings at least three conditions, right? Three conditions in the parable of the sower. Let's just look at the parable of the sower. That's Mark chapter 4. These conditions is what caused the people. They planted the seed, they believed, but then circumstances began to come against them. All right. Let me look here. Okay, chapter 4, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 60, 30, some 60, some 100. Then he explains to them the parable. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside when the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward an affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. So these things came against them and caused them to forsake their stand. They no longer stood. I mean, just look around you. You can turn on anything and all you'd get is blasted with stuff to make you take care. Take care for yourself. Switch from your master, Father God, that takes care of you, to the other master that you're having to worry and fret and toil and spin and see about everything yourself. I mean, it's everywhere. It has to do with your mental outlook. It all has to do with your mind. Our war in a good warfare is all mental. It's mental. Right here, Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you're well, you are. If you think you're sick, you are. It's all a mental game. In fact, the Lord put something to me today. A lot of people fretting over the vaccine. It's not what goes in the man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of him. It's what you believe about it. And there's a lot of stuff. They're all over the place concerning it. But as far as a Christian is concerned, it's what you believe about it. And in fact, if you're mature enough to believe that, you don't need it anyway. So, it's all mental. That's why we've got to guard our hearts, it says. Right here, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's not your blood pumping organ. No, it's used interchangeably in the scriptures. That's your mind. So that's where we have to guard, right there. When we believe and we have spoken. All right, let's go to Mark 11. Can't leave that one out. Starting. All right, let's start verse 11. Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went unto Bethany with the 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. All right, now verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, what we've been talking about, taking authority over the seven mountains, right? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. We should get into the habit that we speak so much, and we speak often, and we don't even think about it. We just go around saying this and that and this, and we're like, Jesus, we didn't have to go back and look at the fig tree to see if it was there or not. You just keep on about your business and keep speaking. Keep speaking to the mountain. We're tearing down their mountain and building our mountain. All right, that's how we're going to war a good warfare. So, don't think it's strange. It's normal.